Good morning. How are you this morning? Good. Are you excited to be here? Yes, it's exciting to be in the house of the Lord. Yeah. Let us pray, please. Our loving Father, we want to thank you this moment. We ask, Lord, that you be our guide and guidance, that you're going to use me as an instrument to bring your word across to your people, that at the end of this service, Lord, we'll be able to say, yes, our God has been good unto us. To you be all the glory, all the honor, adoration, and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand up as we read the scriptures. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a crushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with each other tongue as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, and multitudes came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speak in other tongues. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of this. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Amen. You may be seated. The topic I'm talking about this morning is the realities about the Holy Spirit. The realities about the Holy Spirit. The first thing we want to consider is, who is the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead or Trinity. He is a person. He is not a thing. He is a person. When God created the world, he said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. The plural pronouns in this passage refer to the three persons of the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who participated in the creation. So in Genesis chapter 1, you hear God saying, let us create man in our own image. So the three persons in one were present when God said, let us create man in our own image. So the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. Some people may think of him as a thing, but we are reminded this morning that the Holy Spirit is a person. In the Old Testament, God's Spirit was coming and living the individuals or people. But Jesus, on the night he was crucified, promised to send the Holy Spirit, who would come and indwell with his people. In the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit was there, but he was coming and going. But then, in the New Testament times, the Holy Spirit started coming to be in individuals, to be on each and every one of us who call ourselves Christians. So it is important for you and I to remember today that the Holy Spirit is a person and He indwells in the lives of those who are Christians. Unbelievers, they may be hearing about the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't indwell in them until they make a proclamation, until they accept Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. That is when the Holy Spirit will start indwelling in their person. So number 2 point is, why did God the Father send the Holy Spirit? Why did He do that? It is important for us to know why He did it. The job Jesus gave His disciples before His ascension was for them to go and proclaim the gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins in His name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. They were to stay in the city until they were endowed with the power from on high. So there should be this power from on high that will come and indwell. This power was there before, but He wasn't indwelling in the believers until that proclamation was done. Remember where we read in Acts 1:8. It said, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be my disciples. Starting from where? Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. This is the work that you and I have been given to go and evangelize the world. And we cannot do it empty-handed. We cannot do it by our own power, by our own strength, by our own might. No, you cannot do it. You must be endowed with the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why Christ promised it, promised that He's going to give that. And on the day of Pentecost, on that very day, on the day of Pentecost, it was fulfilled. The people were gathered from many nations, from many places, and they heard the word of God. Somebody was preaching, as I'm preaching in English now, and they heard it in their different languages. Do you know what? Nigeria has over 500 languages. So if it were to be on that day of Pentecost, and I'll be speaking in English, everybody will be hearing it in their own languages. That is a similar thing. No interpreter. The Holy Spirit was the one doing it. That everybody will understand in their own language. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So you and I, when you have the Holy Spirit, He will endow you. He will make you to be able to do what you cannot do on your own strength, on your own power. You cannot do it. So on that day of Pentecost, it was fulfilled. That the believers, they started the ministration there, and they were hearing each other in their own native tongues or native languages. So that promise was fulfilled on that day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is a promise to you and to me as children of God. In Him, you also trusted after you heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation. In Him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until our redemption was purchased. So that promise was made and it was fulfilled. But do you know what happens? The good thing that happens on the day of salvation, when somebody, he or she hears the gospel and says, today I am no longer to continue in my old ways, in the ways I've been sinning. Today I have to forget all the sins that I've been committing. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he went further to tell us in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So when somebody hears that and says, I will no longer continue in my sins, that person will be sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what a seal does? A seal authenticates what something is all about. You see, your driver's license, it has a seal on it. Your ID cards, they have a seal. If you have a passport, it has a seal. It gets it. If it's just ordinary paper, your driver's license is an ordinary paper. When you give it to somebody as an evidence, what would they do with it? They trash it. So, the Holy Spirit is the one that seals you, seals me, makes me to be authentic in the sight of God. So, do not play with the Holy Spirit of God that God has endowed you with. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, you are a genuine child of God because you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13 tells us that, where we just read. I read 13 and 14. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit with them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This is the promise that was made to you and I, or made to the Israelites in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 11:19-20, that you and I will receive that Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God that you are going to receive is going to authenticate you, is going to make you to be a genuine child of God. And you will be his people, and God will be your God. So do not play with whom you have. You have the Holy Spirit in you. But adventure, you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Today will be a day of salvation for you. You will not live here without accepting him as your Lord and personal Savior, because he has come to do the work of conviction, convincing you about your sinful nature, convincing me. But thanks be to God that 50-something years ago, I gave my life to Christ. And since that time, I have not remained the same person I used to be. He can do it for you. He can do it for you. For you, for you. He did it for me. You will not be an exception. So the Holy Spirit, he does his work of granting your life, my life, as children of God. When does the Holy Spirit come? That's number three. The Holy Spirit comes upon the believers today on the day of salvation. We just read that. And believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit as a mark of authority and authenticity. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you become a child of God, your name will be deleted in the book of death and will be written in the book of life. Because you are now a child of God. You are a candidate unto heaven. Therefore, you are guaranteed heaven. You are guaranteed heaven. Because Jesus said it, God said it, and therefore it's true. So, when you become a child of God, you will start yielding fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. According to Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says, against such as no law. So, but if you go to verse 16, there it tells us the fruit of the flesh. That the fruit of the flesh that we are fighting against all the time, the fruit of the flesh, they are the ones that make you and I to sin and sin and sin. But thanks be to God that the fruit of the Spirit has been given to you as a child of God. So you don't need to continue to wallow in sin anymore, but rather to live as a child of God. When you are living as a child of God, you know that something new has happened in your life, and you will not remain the same person you used to be before. Number four, what does the Holy Spirit do for the believers? The Holy Spirit does lots and lots and lots and lots of things for the believers. I just listed a few of them here, what the Holy Spirit does for you and for me. The Holy Spirit helps us, according to Romans 8:23. He guides us, John 16:13. He teaches us, John 14:26. He speaks for us. He reveals to us. He instructs us. He testifies of Jesus. He comforts us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 14:26. He is the Helper. He's going to help you. He's going to help me. Without the Holy Spirit, you as a child of God, you will be helpless. But with the Holy Spirit, you have a helper. You have a helper. And that's why he is the one that does the work, much of the work for you. He does much of the work for me. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Paul for the work for which I called them. Acts 13:2. So when you are called, the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to send you to the mission field. Remember, your mission field may not only be going to Japan or Israel or Nigeria or any other place, but around your neighborhood. That's why he says, when you receive power, you are going to receive power, you will start your ministry, starting from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So your own Jerusalem, be around your neighbor or even in your family. There are family members who do not know Christ. But when you accept Christ, you start the ministry. Paul and Barnabas, they were the ones that had to go to the mission field to do the work. But what I'm encouraging us to this morning is to know that everyone has been called for a purpose. Even to deliver a message to your family members, to your friends, to your workplaces, tell them that Jesus saves. You are an ambassador, wherever you are. Tell them that Jesus saves. So, the Holy Spirit testifies. He comforts. He's our comforter. He said, I will send you another comforter. And who is that comforter? The Holy Spirit. What does the comforter do? He comforts you. When you are in trouble, when you are agonizing of one pain or the other, he comforts you. So, my brothers and sisters, today you know that the Holy Spirit is doing a lot of work for you and for me. So we don't have to take those for granted because he has come to do it. Then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit dwells with you. The Holy Spirit dwells with me. So if he dwells in you and dwells with me, therefore we need to do the work that God has called us to do. So he is our comforter. He's our, he fills us, he strengthens us, and he prays for us. Do you know there are times you want to pray and you don't know what to pray about? But the Holy Spirit of God will help you. He will help you to pray aright. Those problems, those cares that you are going through, other people are going through, that they've told you about. Then when you are praying in the Spirit of God in you will help you. That's why he's there, to help you, to pray with you. And even when you are in front of a judge, he says, don't fear. When you are brought in front of a judge or a magistrate, that he's going to give you utterance, what to speak. So, my brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is here to help you, to help me in our conditions. But when you neglect the Holy Spirit, then you'll be doing the work alone. That'll be burdensome. You don't need to do the work alone. The Holy Spirit has been given to you, has been given to me. So you have to allow him to minister to you so that something new will start happening. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? When we acknowledge that he owns us and has the right to lead us, it means we are filled by the Spirit. It also involves our full yielding and walking in obedience to his will on a daily basis. It also means that we have surrendered our lives fully to him to control as he wishes. You have to surrender your life to him so that he will control your life. If you want to do it by yourself, I promise you, you're going to fail. But when you allow him, the Holy Spirit, to control you, then you see that a new life will start bubbling in you. That's why we're also reminded in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that we should not be controlled by the flesh or by wine or anything else, but we allow the Holy Spirit of God to control us. So you need to allow the Holy Spirit to control you, because he has been given to you and to me, to minister to you and to me all the time. John MacArthur says in the Bible commentary, being filled with the Spirit is living in the conscious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting his mind through the word dominate everything that is thought and done. So you need to allow him to do the work in you. Don't try to do it by yourself. When you try to do it by yourself, like I said before, you're going to fail. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit works in our lives. According to John 14, 15 to 17, he works with us as non-believers, para, to convict us of our sins. The Holy Spirit, the word Holy Spirit is paraclete. Paraclete, the one that walks alongside of you. He walks alongside of you. That is the work of a lawyer helping his client to walk alongside of your client. Jesus is your paraclete, the one that walks alongside of you. You walk together. But when you are not walking with the Holy Spirit, you're going to err. He goes alongside of you. He is your counselor. He is your advisor. So that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He goes alongside of the believers. So if you have not been allowing the Holy Spirit to go alongside of you, starting from today, you have to start allowing him to start going alongside of you, your paraclete, to go alongside of you. Because you may err. I may err because I'm not allowing him to take control of my life. When you have a lawyer, you have a case and you have a lawyer, and you go to the court, and your lawyer is there, and you want to speak everything. And when you are speaking, going astray, the lawyer will tap you. Stop. If you miss the case, whom are you going to blame? Yourself. You have a lawyer. You have to allow your lawyer to speak on your behalf. The Holy Spirit is our lawyer. That's why he goes alongside of us. And not only that he goes alongside of us, he is also in us. He comes into our lives when we turn to Christ. And in Greek is in. He dwells in you, in me, as believers. He dwells in you. When you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, he now goes alongside of you. He is in you. Indwelling in you. So you have to allow him to do his work. He also assures you that we have done the right thing, according to Romans 8:16. According to Romans 8:16. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That's Acts 3:5. Then the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16. He will bear witness with your spirit, with my spirit, that I'm a child of God. When you receive the degree, BA, being born again into the kingdom of God. You receive that degree, BA, being born again into the kingdom of God. You are now a child of God. Many of us, we have degrees. Those degrees are for meal, for house rent, for whatever. But the greatest degree is BA, being born again into the kingdom of God. If you have not received that degree, today is your own day to receive that degree, being born again into the kingdom of God. It's better you get it. It's an additional BA for you. If you already have the worldly BA, you get this heavenly BA, you are in good tune. Furthermore, he will come upon you to empower you and to empower us as believers. AP in Greek is upon. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, will come upon me. When it's upon you, the world can do nothing. Satan can do nothing. He will only scratch, tempting you, but he will not override you or overrule you because the Holy Spirit is upon you. Remember, the Holy Spirit walks para along with you. He is in you and he's inside you, upon you, indwelling in you. So, you, my brother, my sister, be happy that the Holy Spirit has been sent to do this good work in you, to do it in me, so that we, as saints of God, will be ready for the kingdom. When the Holy Spirit can be sinned against, when is it that it can be sinned against? According to Acts 5:1-10. When we lie, by lying against the Holy Spirit, we sin against Him. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, and how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? When we sin. When we commit sins upon sins upon sins, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit will be suppressed. He won't be able to do His work in your life, in my life, because I'm living a sinful life. So the best thing you need to do is to run to the Holy Spirit, so that He's going to help you not to grieve Him, or grieve Jesus Christ, or grieve God the Father. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit anymore, because we are given that Holy Spirit on the day of our salvation. We also should not quench the Holy Spirit. We should not quench the Holy Spirit. How can we quench the Holy Spirit? By also sinning, by doing things that doesn't satisfy our Heavenly Father. So you don't need to grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit that has been given to you. He has been given to you. Don't quench Him anymore. And you should not resist the Holy Spirit. You should not resist the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is actively working in the lives of people who have made Christ the Lord of their lives. And we also should not insult the Holy Spirit. According to Hebrews 10:29, we should not insult the Holy Spirit. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you are sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be given, will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Matthew 12:31-32. So please do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And how can you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? When you attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to Satan, to evil spirit, to all those, to people, even when you attribute it to people, you are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. And He says, other sins can be forgiven, but sin against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven you. He said, even in this age and in the age to come. So do not try in any form or manner to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Don't. I said don't. Yes. Blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. The work that the Holy Spirit does is to be, He is to be recognized, and He should be given credit for what He has done. But not saying it's done by mere man or by demonic forces. I'm not saying that demonic forces can't do things. Yes, they can do things. But you and I have been given discerning spirit to discern whether that thing was done by an evil spirit or by the Holy Spirit of God. So when you know the truth, the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you'll be free what? How? Indeed. Completely free. So you need to know the truth. You cannot know the truth except if you go to the world. And that's why the Muslims, they call us the people of the book. The Muslim call you and I the people of the book. This is the greatest book. The book that has no adulteration. The greatest book in the world. We have had many authors writing books. Some survived for 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, 100 years, 200 years, maybe some up to 1,000. But this has survived thousands of years with no adulteration. So we are the people of the book. So you need to trust this book, the people of the book. The Holy Spirit walks with the Father and the Son, according to 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2. The Holy Spirit walks with the Father and the Son. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Christ. 1 Peter 1:2. So you and I, we are children of God. We are candidates unto heaven. We are people of God's own possession. And you have been chosen for a purpose, to be a living witness. So you need to continue the work that God has called you to do. Jesus redeems us, having died for us while we were still sinners. Jesus died for you, died for me. While you were still a sinner, while I was still a sinner, Jesus died for you. To set you free, to set me free. And now that I'm free, I am free indeed. Satan has no control over me anymore. He shouldn't have any control over you, because you are a child of God. You are a candidate unto heaven. Being a candidate unto heaven should make you to be happy all the time, because heaven is a prepared place for the prepared people. And therefore, you need to be happy to be called a child of God. Why the Christians need the Holy Spirit? Why? We need Him, like we said before, because without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. Let me read that Galatians again. Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, we are asked to flee from all this. And you can flee from all this because the Holy Spirit is already in you. When you don't allow the Holy Spirit to operate in you, then you will be walking in the flesh. When I don't allow the Holy Spirit to be walking in me, I'll be walking in the flesh. And these manifestations will be in me or in you. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to walk in you, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. So this latter part is what the Holy Spirit can produce in you, can produce in me, if I walk in the Spirit. So starting from today, you should desist from walking in the flesh and start walking in the Spirit. When you start walking in the Spirit, you will fulfill those things that God wants you as a child of God to be doing, to produce the marks of a child of God. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So no matter your temptations, he will not allow you to go beyond what you are able to bear. He will not allow me to go beyond that. And that's why the Holy Spirit is working in you and is working in me as children of God. Like I said before, if you have not allowed him to be a part of your life, starting from today, allow the Holy Spirit to become a part of you. Allow him to control your life. And when you allow him to control your life, you will be happy that you did. Remember the topic we have discussed, the realities about the Holy Spirit. And we have learned that the Holy Spirit is a person, is the third person of the Trinity. And therefore, you should allow the Holy Spirit, I should allow the Holy Spirit to walk in me, to walk in you, so that you will be able to run this Christian race. Without the Holy Spirit of God in you and in me, we cannot run the race. Satan is here to buffet you, to pull you down. But the Holy Spirit is also there to be against him, to defeat him for you. So, as we go to prayers, I don't know if there's anyone here this morning who wants to accept Christ as his or her Lord and personal Savior. Remember what it takes. What it will take you to become a child of God is knowing that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself. You ask Christ to come into your life. When he comes into your life, you become a child of God. You become a child of God. You receive that degree, B.A., being born again into the kingdom of God. This morning, during the baptism, we saw people who made confession, public proclamation, that they have become children of God, that Christ has walked in them, and now they are children of God. And they wanted everybody to see what has happened in them through the baptism. So I am telling you, you can also become a child of God this morning. By seeing yourself as a sinner that you cannot save yourself, and you ask Christ to come into your life, when he comes into your life, you become a child of God. If, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. If anyone wants to accept Christ as his or her Lord and personal Savior, that's an opportunity for you to do that. this morning. I'll be praying. You can raise your hand if you want the prayer that God will manifest himself in your life. Let us pray. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you this morning because you are good. Thank you for your word has gone out and you said you will not come back to you void without accomplishing what you intended it. Father, thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this person that raised her hand to accept you as her Lord and personal Savior this morning. I'm asking, Lord, that you forgive and forget all the ways she has sinned against you. Father, I ask, Lord, that you delete her name from the book of death and write it in the book of life. That starting from today, she will turn a new leaf to walk with you as the Holy Spirit has now entered into her. Thank you for cleansing her. Thank you for forgiving her. Thank you for deleting her name in the book of death and writing it in the book of life. We praise and glorify your name. Thank you for the word that has gone out, which you said it will not come back to you void without accomplishing what you intended it. I know we have been encouraged, we've been encouraged this morning by your word. We ask, Lord, that you nourish us more and more as we continue this Christian race. Help us, Lord, to serve you to the fullest. Help us, Lord, to be good ambassadors of yours wherever we find ourselves. Thank you, for we have prayed, believing in Jesus' name. Amen.